It's good to be here. How are you guys doing? Doing well. Yay. It's exciting you guys get to sow into what's going on in the Middle East. There's so many things going on. I have a friend of mine that's a worship leader that has learned how to lead worship in Farsi. And the Streams team, just in the last 2 weeks, recorded 8 episodes of Farsi worship that we're going to be broadcasting into Iran specifically so that people can get that worship. We're going to be putting it in apps, because one of the interesting things about the Middle East, somebody walks around with a Bible, they can get killed if they're even found with one. And so what we found is people will get on an app and they'll download the Bible, and so they'll have their headphones in while they're, you know, in public transportation or whatever. Everybody thinks they're listening to music. They're actually listening to the Bible. And it's just a great way to get things in, because of the internet, you can get into places that people don't want you to get in. And there's some amazing things that's happening. I mean, God is pouring out dreams and visions, and people are coming to him just sovereignly through visitations from Jesus throughout the Middle East. It's a beautiful thing. Whenever persecution increases, the power of God increases. Every time throughout history, and it is one of those times. So you guys have an amazing opportunity to sow into what God is doing with this people group. It's a great thing. I want to mention one of the resources that we have back there just this morning, because I was told that we have a lot of parents in the service today. We just recently had a brand new resource that came out. John Paul actually started working on this about 20 years ago with a friend of his who was at the time was his assistant but was also a worship leader. And they just, through a variety of different interesting circumstances, wrote a children's story to help to teach kids how to hear from God and expect miraculous intervention, and to trust that God actually loves them and is with them. And just about 6 months before John Paul passed away, he got into the studio and recorded himself narrating the whole story. And so there's this book called Eber the Bear, and then in the back of it, there's a CD that has John Paul narrating the whole thing, and then there's some lullabies that he and Melissa, who was his assistant, wrote together, and with all the lyrics your kids can sing along. Just a great way to teach them how to trust in the voice of the Lord. I'm going to give this to Pastor Sam, because I know he's got some kids, and I know that they're gifted. So we want to bless you guys with that. So talking about kids, there was a pastor that had a 6-year-old daughter, and they were having a conversation one day, and his daughter said, "You know, Dad, I noticed that before you preach, you always close your eyes, but you don't say anything. What are you doing?" And he's pretty excited that his daughter is paying that much attention when he's preaching, and he goes, well, honey, what I'm doing is I'm asking God to help me preach a good sermon. And his daughter says, "Well, Dad, why doesn't he do it?" Hopefully that won't be the case this morning. I'm going to talk this morning. I gave the topic a few weeks ago that I was going to talk on how to hear from God better. And I actually had a message that I had prepared, and I changed it this morning. You could use the same title, but I'm going in a very different direction. Just because as I was praying for you guys, I felt like the Lord wanted to release a fresh revelation of how much he loves you. And too many times when we're trying to figure out how to hear from God, we're trying to figure out the specifics. You know, how do I, you know, what way does his voice come? How do I know if it really is him? But one of the things that happens is when you begin to get a real revelation of how much God loves you, a lot of those specifics work themselves out. Because this whole thing of hearing from God is about a relationship. It's not about It's not about a spiritual practice in and of itself. It's about intimacy with this king that has been pursuing you. He's been coming after you and I for all of eternity. Ever since Adam chose that he was going to eat of that fruit, he came to the garden searching for him. He knew that Adam and Eve had eaten that fruit, and he came just like he had every other time to have a conversation. He didn't stay up in heaven and say, well, you messed up, I'm not coming back. He came after Adam. But Adam ran because of his shame, and so God sacrificed an animal to cover his shame with the skin of an animal. And he did the same thing for you and I when he came and he sacrificed his son so that we could be covered by the robe of righteousness that belongs to the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. And if you want, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, because this is going to be our passage that I'm going to be coming from. This is a beautiful prayer that Paul is praying for the church in Ephesus. And today, and this week, as you go through the week, come back to this and meditate on these verses, because there's so much here that there's no way that one morning I'll be able to communicate everything that could be communicated from this. We're in Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 3 and go through verse 10. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoptions as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth." Father, I ask that as we look at your word and as we position our hearts before you to hear from you, that you would allow the anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon the words that are spoken, that they would carry life. Lord, that this would be a time where we don't just get information, that we don't just receive knowledge from your word, but that Lord, you would give revelation that would bring transformation. We want your voice to speak these words to our heart and break through the resistance that we have built to your love. Lord, we give you permission to love us, and we ask for a greater revelation of that love. And Holy Spirit, we give you freedom in this place. This is your place. This is your time. Do whatever you want to do. Make us sensitive. Make us sensitive to the moving of the wind, that we would be blown by the wind wherever you will. We just surrender to your presence, and we surrender to your heart. Starting in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." So God has already given us access to all of the good things in heaven. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He's already given us access through what Jesus did. When Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, he told them to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That everything, the perfect will of God that is currently happening in heaven, can you imagine currently in heaven something that God doesn't want happening? Can you imagine an angel calling in sick? Can you imagine one of the seraphim that are surrounding the throne not being able to understand the voice of God? God prayed, God himself in Jesus Christ prayed that you and I would have all of the benefits in heaven here on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That there's this promise that what God has bought through the work of Jesus Christ is available to you and I. That he intended for us to be heirs, even co-heirs with Christ. This is what Paul promises in Romans chapter 8. But it came through the work of what Jesus did. There's no separation in heaven. There's no difficulty in coming to him. There's no question about the Lord's intention. That there's no wondering if we're loved. There's no wondering if we're accepted. That in that place, all of the doubts and all of the questions and all of the insecurities that we deal with here are completely gone. And Jesus prayed that you and I would be able to step into that place of freedom here and now. That we wouldn't come to God with insecurity, wondering whether or not he was going to receive us, but we would realize that he chose us, it was his idea, and he has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Everything that's available in heaven, that what was given to Jesus Christ has been given to us because of his work. And the reason for it is because of Jesus' work on the cross. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Because this access has nothing to do with what we do. It has nothing to do with who we are. It has everything to do with who he is and what he did. In Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to read verses 19 through 22. It says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence," why do we have confidence? If you look at the verse before, it says, because God forgave sins. But because the sacrifice of Jesus Christ forgave our sins, that he no longer holds our sins against us, but he has redeemed us. He has reconciled us to the Father. Because of the work of Jesus Christ, we have confidence to enter the holy places. When you take a look at the context, the holy places that he's talking about is the holy places in heaven. It's that place where we come into the presence of God. Under the old covenant, only the priests were allowed to come in. Only the high priest was allowed once a year to come where the Ark of the Covenant was. That there was a veil that separated the holy from the most holy place so that no one could come in except for the high priest once a year, and he had to come in with sacrifice. And every year there had to be a new sacrifice so that there could be one that would enter into the presence of God. But because of the work of Jesus Christ, we've been brought in, that we can enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way that he opened up for us through the curtain. That curtain, that veil that separated us from the presence of God, was ripped in two when the body of Christ was ripped in two. That when his body was torn, that veil was torn, and we were given full access because of what he did. And it's not about what we do, it's about what he did. And he has called us to come with full assurance of faith because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He opened up a way for us through that curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. We hold fast because he is faithful. He has brought us into this place. He has given us access. And when we come before God to hear what God has to say, the first place that we start is we're coming not because we're gifted, not because we have ability, but because Jesus Christ tore his flesh so that we could have access to the Father, that we could come into his presence, that we can with confidence boldly come before him and expect him to receive us. He has already chosen that we can be received. We don't have to wonder each time that we come whether or not he wants us to come. He's pursuing us. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 4 it says this, "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." Even as God the Father chose us in Jesus before he created anything, before he hung a single star in the universe, he had already seen you, thought about you, knew exactly who you were and what you were going to do, and he said, "I want that one. I'll take them. I want them. I will go through the pain of rejection by billions of people so that I can have this one that will love me. I will go through the pain of the cross. I will go through the humiliation of rejection and of being humiliated before man and before the universe so that I can have this one. They're worth it to me. I want you." This is the cry of our Father. It was his idea. It wasn't our idea. He's the one that chose us. It's not that we decided one day that we were going to go after God. He extended an invitation, and we recognized the invitation and said yes to the invitation that he extended. It's his idea. He's been pursuing you for all of your life. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. It says that to as many as believed, he gave them the right to be sons of God, born not of the will of man or the will of the flesh, but born of the will of the Father. That as many as received him, as soon as you said yes to him, he gave you the power, the authority, and the right to be considered a son. Not a slave that's in the house, but a son, one that has been brought in. He gave you the right to be a son. And it wasn't because of your idea. It wasn't because it sounded good in the moment. It was because he desired it. It was his will that you were born the first time and you were born again because God wanted you. He longs for you. His heart is crying out for your heart. His desire to speak to you, it's greater than your desire to hear from him. He wants relationship. He wants intimacy. And every relationship is built upon communication. If there is no communication, there is no relationship. And communication has to go both ways. It's a two-way street. He didn't call you into relationship so that you could talk at him. And he didn't call you into relationship so that he could talk at you. He called you into relationship so that you could communicate with him, that you would be brought into intimacy. You would hear his voice, you would know his voice, and that you would ask of him and he would give to you. He wasn't sitting up there and recognizing, "Oh no, they're gonna say the prayer. Oh, not, angel, stop that one. Don't let him say the prayer. Don't want that one. No, not, oh man, now I have to take him." Some of us think it was like that, like we just snuck in and now God's stuck with us. You know, we're Cinderella. Well, I guess I got to take care of him. I have a responsibility now. God wanted us. He was crying over us. From before We were formed in the womb. Before we were an idea in our parents, he was there in every moment. Like David got this revelation of the Lord's love, and he saw the Father in the womb watching him being knit together and seeing every piece coming together, every cell multiplying, the organs being formed. He saw every bit of it. He's been watching you that closely. Ever since the beginning, he was dreaming about you before the foundations of the world. Before anything started, he'd been thinking about you, desiring you, wanting you, and he's got you now. If he has you. And so the question for some is, have you received him? Because he's longing for you. To as many as believed. All you've got to do is believe that what Jesus did was buying your relationship with the Father. He removed everything that would hinder you from having relationship. He came, he died, he bled on that cross so that there would be nothing between you and him, that everything that you did that would hurt that relationship would be removed so that you could come near, and all you've got to do is say yes. If you haven't heard his voice, it's easy. Father, I want to know you. I believe that you died for me. I believe that Jesus came and bled and died and he rose again, and that you want a relationship with me. God, I want that too. Would you receive me? I receive you. It's that simple, just turning to him. We can receive him. To as many as believed, he gave them the right. Every single one of us invited into this place of relationship where he longs for us. Let's look at verse 5 and 6. It says, and he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. He'd already decided that this was his desire. I mean, Paul says this like again and again so that we actually get it. He's called us. He's chose us. Before anything started, he was thinking about it. He wanted you. He predestined you. He planned this whole thing. He's after you. He longs for you. God is the ultimate stalker, but in a good way. His heart of love is pursuing you because you're worth it. You're worth it to him for him to keep on coming after you. He wasn't looking for slaves. He was looking for children. He wasn't looking for second-class citizens in heaven. He was looking for people that he would put on equal footing with his son. But let's go to that passage in Romans chapter 8 I mentioned earlier. It's Romans chapter 8, and we're going to look at verses 15 and 17. But you could read the whole chapter. It has this beautiful revelation of God's pursuit of us and his intention for each one of us. But starting in verse 15, he says this, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. The Spirit himself, that as soon as you said yes to Jesus Christ, that yes, what happened is God responded to your yes by taking of his Spirit and putting his Spirit inside of you. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says that he who belongs to the Lord is one spirit with him. He united his spirit with your spirit, and you became a new creation. You became a child of God. Only those that have said yes to Jesus are children of God. You became a child of God as soon as you said yes. He put his spirit inside of you, and he removed that spirit of slavery, that spirit of fear. Because he wasn't looking for people that were afraid of him, that were trying to figure out how to alleviate his anger by performing well. He wasn't looking for slaves. He wasn't looking for performance. He was looking for children. He was looking for people that would come out of a heart of love and that would sacrifice themselves for him out of love, not out of fear. He didn't bring us back into that place of slavery. And we think of ourselves so often, we don't think of ourselves as being slaves. But the reality is until you've had a complete revelation of the love of the Father, that you're a slave of fear. You're afraid of what people would think. You're afraid of what people would say. You're afraid of losing. You're afraid of being hurt. We have so many fears that rule our life, that we say the things that we say. We act the way that we act. We wear the clothes that we wear so that people will think that we're a certain type of people because we're afraid that people won't know us. We live in fear of relationship all the time. Until God's love comes in and removes that fear. But we have not been given a spirit of fear that leads us back into slavery. Because when you're afraid, you almost can't not act according to your fear. And so many of us don't even realize how much of our lives are controlled by fear. How many of the decisions that we make, the place that we live, the job that we take, Our slavery to fear because we don't really know the love of God. And God wants us to be free. He's put his own spirit inside of you so that you no longer have to be a slave to fear. You're a child of God. You've been brought into the family. And you've become an heir of God. An heir of God. Everything that God has is going to be yours. In the same way that everything that God has is going to be Jesus's. Co-heirs with Christ, it says. I mean, this is the Bible talking. If it wasn't in the Bible, that would be, you'd never be able to say that. You couldn't dream that big. But God has revealed it. Things that hasn't entered into the eye, into the mind of man, or even come into our imagination, God has revealed these things by his Spirit. He has called us to be that close to him. We would have the same relationship with him as Jesus Christ. That's what we've been brought into. He goes on in Romans 8 that he chose us, that he predestined us so that we would be conformed into the same image as Jesus, that we would look just like him, receiving everything that he received, having the full authority that Jesus has. Now again, if that wasn't in the Bible, that would be crazy talk. But Revelation promises that to him who overcomes, I will give him of the right to sit upon my throne, even as the Father has given me the right to sit upon his throne. You're not just a poor sinner that got in by accident. You are a chosen, adopted, royal son, royal daughter that is loved and longed for by the Father. He's been crying out to you because he wants to be in a relationship with you. He's not trying to give you another idea that you can add into the list of thoughts that you have about the world. He's not trying to give you doctrine alone. He's trying to give you relationship. You became something different. Old things are past, new things have come. He who belongs to Christ Jesus is a new creation. You've been changed from the inside out. As soon as you said yes to him, his Spirit changed you. He regenerated you. You were born again, Jesus called it. And this new creation that you are is no longer afraid of this world, this realm. We live with our eyes on the Father, realizing that the eyes of the Father are on us. We're not wondering whether or not he wants to speak to us or whether or not we can hear. We know his voice because he loves us, because he has chosen us. This is the relationship that we've been brought into. Let's go back to Ephesians 1. Let's take a look and read verses 7 through 10 again. In him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood. Now that word redeem, here's some synonyms for redeem: vindicated, absolved, free from blame, the removal of guilt from. We have redemption in him. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Forgiveness. That word has almost lost its meaning because we hear it so much. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way, that if there was forgiveness, there would no longer remain any consciousness of sins. In other words, when you get a real revelation that you are forgiven, you forget who you were. See, too many of us, we're still walking around and you know, well, yeah, I know God forgives me, so he's going to let me into heaven, but you don't know what I did. I mean, when I came into the kingdom, I had a lot that I needed to be saved from. I was not a nice guy. I had turned, well, I don't know if there is such a thing as innocent, but I had taken young men, young girls, 15, 16, 17 years old, got them started on drugs, because if you're an evangelist, you're always an evangelist. Haunted by the face of one young girl that was at 16 years old that I turned into a crack whore that had never tried it before. I was so full of shame for the things that I had done. And I come into the kingdom and I've ruined so many kids' lives. I need to work with the youth. And I began to work with the youth. I mean, it took me years to realize that God had killed the guy that did that. The guy that did that stuff is dead. He's gone. I can't change that. And he no longer holds that against me. That is not my identity. I am a new creation. I am different. Right? That doesn't relieve me of my responsibility to pray for the redemption of their lives. Because they're in pain. I have compassion for that. But that sin is not being held against me. But we could go through the list. We could go all day long talking about the stuff that you and I have done that should disqualify us, and yet God says it doesn't. I mean, look at the Apostle Paul. This guy's a murderer. He pursues Christians and kills them, God's kids, unjustly accusing them and voting for their death and helping to kill them. And he feels justified the whole time. He thinks he's doing good stuff for God. And God breaks in and saves him and redeems everything. Changes the script of his life, no longer holding his past against him. You're a new creation. Now I want you to go. You're going to go and serve. You're going to go and love. You're going to go and be who I've called you to be. Your past does not disqualify you. Today is not yesterday. Your future is not determined by your past. Jesus Christ's blood was actually enough to forgive you and to set you free. God tried to explain this to the Israelites, and they couldn't quite get it. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins may be as scarlet, I will make them white as snow." The Hebrew in that verse, it's interesting. Where he says, "Let us reason together," it literally means, hey, we're going to argue this thing out until you see it my way. I am not going to let go of this until you get it. You think that what you did has put a mark on you that will never come out. You think your sins are as scarlet? I will make them white as snow. I'm not telling you what you're going to do. I'm not going to tell you that you're going to make up for it. I'm not going to tell you that you're going to earn it. You'll never be good enough. You'll never make up for what you did. It's not about you. It's about me. I will make you white as snow. I will forgive you because I am forgiveness. It's who I am. It's about the identity of this Savior that's been pursuing us and longing for us. You are not disqualified. If you're still doing those things, stop and ask for forgiveness, and forgiveness comes. But a lot more of us, that stuff is in the past. It was the stuff that they did to us. And we think the reason that they would do that to us is because we deserved it. I mean, these bad things have happened to me because of all the bad things that I've done. I deserve to suffer. I mean, you don't know what I did. You don't know who I was. That is demonic. And you do not have to be under that lie. From this moment on, the blood of Jesus, he's given us redemption. Redemption, the forgiveness of sins, the removal of guilt. The removal of guilt. You don't have to feel guilty anymore. Move forward. Forgetting what was past, I press forward to what is ahead. I lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. I'm pressing in, I'm pressing on towards this upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's calling me up. He's calling me in. He's calling me further into his heart. And I'm pressing into his heart. That stuff is behind me. He is in front of me. I run the race before me with endurance, with my eyes fixed on Jesus. It's hard to run a race looking in a rearview mirror. You're going to stumble every time. But when your face is on him, look at him, the author and perfecter of your faith, the one that started it and the one that's going to end it. Look at him. He is your redemption. He is the one that removes guilt. He is the one that removes shame, because shame causes us to run from God, causes us to hide, causes us to feel guilty. See, God wants relationship with you. Relationship requires communication. And this was all his idea. He called you. He pursued you. He's been dreaming about you before he created anything. You were in his heart. You were on his mind. It was for the joy set before him that he endured the cross. You were the joy. You were the joy that gave him the strength to keep going into the cross and through the cross. And he now rules and reigns at the right hand of the Father, and he ever lives to pray for you and I, that you and I would come into the fullness of the inheritance that he paid for. That you and I would have boldness, we would have confidence to come before God and expect an answer, expect an audience. Each one of us, we have access to the Father through him. Meditate on his love. Realize how much he loves you. Because he wants you to receive his love. He wants you to stop resisting his love. Of course you don't deserve it. It's not about you. It's about him. It's about what he did. Some of you are going to get a revelation of the Lord's love. If your heart's been stirred, you realize that you need to know his love more. You need that shame to be removed, that fear that's been causing you to perform for other people. If that's you, would you just stand up where you're at? We're going to invite the Lord to come. Just go ahead and stand up. There's no shame. We're coming boldly. He made a way for us through the flesh. Anybody else? You want a greater revelation of the Lord's love? Now, if you don't know, if you've received him yet, if you don't know that you're adopted, that you're beloved, that you're chosen, that you're in him, you can stand up too. He's going to come on you as well. It's just your invitation. Father, I thank you that your love is being poured out right now. Father, I ask that you would send the spirit of adoption into every heart right now and release a revelation of the love of the Father. Let love pour out. Each one standing, just let your love fall on them right now. Speak to your children that you love them. More, Lord. More, Lord. Revelation of love, let it come. Father, I ask that shame would be wiped away. Shame would be wiped away. The consciousness of sins done. The memory of sins that were committed against us and that we committed against others. Or you say, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let the blood of Jesus just wash shame now. Pull off the fig leaves of shame and cover us in the skin of your Son. More, Lord. Heal hearts. Even right now, there's words that are echoing in some of your minds, words that were spoken to you. They were curses. They were things that people said against you and about you. They were labels that were put on you. Lord is removing those labels right now. We come against those words right now in the name of Jesus. We break the power of those words right now. Freedom in the name of Jesus. Freedom in the name of Jesus. Come. Freedom. True healing. Lord, where our hearts need healed, Lord, you are the Redeemer. You are the healer. Bring wholeness to hearts right now. Bring wholeness to hearts right now. Jesus. Speak your love, Father. Speak your love. These are your kids. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Come more, Lord. Come more. Just wash us, Lord, wash us. We're clean. We are clean by your blood. We are clean. We are free. We are free. Hear the words, you are my beloved. You are my beloved. We say yes, Lord. We say yes. Good. That's so good. So I feel like the Lord's going to release some revelation just over different people. If you want to still stand and receive, feel free. If you want to sit down, feel free. If we can turn the lights on just a little bit more. And I have to apologize because I got to ask your name again with the blue shirt. Rachel. So your son was Jacob, right? Yeah, I was just during worship and even as I was, you know, up here just thinking about what the Lord was going to do. I feel like I just have this picture of your son. I want to share it with you for his future. There's something about his mind. He's an extremely intelligent young man, and it's a very creative mind. And there's going to be inventions, new ways of doing things. He's just going to see things in a different way, but he's going to be able to communicate it in such a way that it becomes something. That it doesn't just stay an idea in the head, but it actually just becomes something. And there's something for him about business. There's something about business plans and leading teams and being able to see something before it happens and know how to build and create structures to allow things to happen. And it all has to do with that creativity and the intelligence that he has. Yeah. Guess I don't need to add anything to that. So, yeah, so bless Jacob. Father, we thank you for the creativity that you've given him and the intelligence that you've given him. And we ask that intelligence, that it would be cultivated and that it would be formed in the way that you want it to be formed, that he would be able to see those things that you're going to show him. And I thank you for the compassion that you're putting in his heart, even at a young age, the compassion that he will have for people and things that are hurting. And we just bless that compassion, and we ask that you would protect that sensitivity in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Bless you. Isn't that good? He is so faithful. There's two of you standing right there. Are you guys together? Yes. All right. I don't want to make any assumptions, so that gets embarrassing. So you and your wife, that's not my wife. Oh, sorry. it's good to ask if you don't have revelation. So, what's your name, sir? David. And you are Mallory? David and Mallory. So David, there's something that's going on, and there is a release of things that have been held up in a financial arena. It's almost like there's been a dam that's been holding things back, and there's been a trickle, and the trickle's been good, but there's been injustice in the past that has hindered things happening that are supposed to be happening. And the Lord's dealing with stuff that's underneath the surface. It can't be seen yet, but the resistance is beginning to crumble, and there's favor that's coming to you. It's almost like a wave of favor that's going to change some very specific situations that you've had to deal with and that have created some tension in your heart and some questions as to why did the Lord allow this, or was this really his plan? And there was some questioning that happened, but it's because there's stuff that's underneath the surface that is being dealt with, and it's just a matter of waiting and letting the Lord act. And so I just want to encourage you to keep on going, and to not give up. So Mallory, I try to describe what I'm getting, because sometimes it's a sense. It's not clear words. Like when we're hearing from God, we kind of have this expectation of this clear booming voice. It's just going to tell them this, you know, and it just does not often happen that way. It's more just of a sense and kind of a picture. And so the sense of the picture that I got was of your mother, and that that tears will be turned into, the mourning will be turned into joy, that tears will be turned into laughter. That scripture, though mourning may last for the night, the joy comes in the morning. And there's been a season of loss, there's been a season of difficulty that she's been going through, and there's tears that are there, there's tears that you've cried over her, and the Lord has seen the tears, and the tears may last for a night, but joy does come in the morning. And there's going to be a restoration, and it's almost going to be like when it happens, almost something in your heart, it's like, I got my mom back. There's this restoration that's going on, and it has to do, it's a restoration not just for your mom, but it's a restoration for your family. And there are things, and I have this picture of your mom on her knees. But your mom was you. It was like there's a generational inheritance that you've received for prayer and to not let go of things, to contend for breakthrough. And it's almost like a stubbornness, but it's actually a perseverance. And it's a perseverance after the promises of the Lord, that when you receive a promise that you won't let go. And there are promises that your mom has been contending for a long time. Do you have a brother? Contending over your brother, that she's been contending over your brother, promises that she received a while back about your brother that she's been holding on to and contending for, and they're coming forth. But there's promises that you've held on to. There's promises that were over your life, that even when you were a young girl at 6 and 7 years old, that the Lord was speaking things into your heart. And I don't know if they were dreams. I don't know what was going on in that season of time, but it was almost there was the dreams of the heart. So I don't know if it was night dreams or if it was, you know, just expectations and daydreams. There was vision that the Lord gave you for things that were going to happen, and you've held on to those things. And don't let go of the promises of the Lord. It's the same thing. It's that perseverance thing, that as you persevere, as you contend, that there will be that fruit, because you have an inheritance as one that doesn't let go. Yeah, let me leave it there. I don't have anything else. I don't want to try to explain something. So bless you. And bless your family, and specifically your brother. So, yay God. Isn't that fun? He's so good to us. His longing and his desire for us is so beyond anything that we can comprehend. The closer you get to his heart, the more you realize how much his heart is crying out for you. That revelation of love. I mean, let that be a meditation. You just continually go back to that meditation. Keep on going back to the scripture in Ephesians chapter 1. Because for some of you, there's still things that he has yet to reveal from this that are going to continue to unwrap. And it's almost like the grave clothes, like Lazarus came out. He was resurrected, but he had to get unwrapped. That there was still some things that remained from the last season. They weren't in him, but they were on him, and they had to come off of him. And you've been trying to get things out of you, but it's not things out of you, it's things that are on you. And recognizing your identity and who you are is a key to where you're taking, where he's taking you. Let me see. There's a gentleman with a checkered shirt. It looks blue and white. Yeah, you just looked at, yes. Yeah, what's your name, sir? Don? John. Hey, that's a good name. John, do you mind standing up for me? Make it a little bit easier to see you. Yeah, you can stand up together if you want. It's up to you. So, sometimes you don't have the word, you just know the person, and then you got to figure out what you're supposed to say. So, I love it when he does that to me. So, we'll start with the sense, and then we'll see where else we go. So, there's something that the Lord's redeeming about a relationship with your father. Rewriting some thought patterns, rewriting some history, and there's healing coming to your heart, specifically when it relates to father, and specifically when it relates to how you see yourself as a father, because there are things that you see about yourself that were actually given to you by your father, but they're not true about you, and what was true of him is not true of you, and the Lord has broken that curse off of your family line, and you're not going to fall into the same thing that your grandfather and your father did. Your kids are not going to go through what you went through, because the Lord has shifted the family line. He's shifted you because you said yes to him. And he's drawing you into a place of trust where you've learned how to be strong and you've learned how to fight for the things that you need. But he's bringing you into a place of trust where you're going to learn how to trust in his goodness and actually trust that somebody else will take care of you, because you've always had to take care of yourself. And he says, I'm going to take care of you. You are my son. I love you. I'm for you. And I've got an inheritance for you. You are not alone. You are not alone. And I just want to speak over you that new identity that he has spoken. That his blood is stronger than the blood that runs in your veins. And what he's done in your life is real. And those questions that the enemy has haunted you and made you question whether or not it was real. And that it's almost been a torment at times that those are broken right now in the name of Jesus Christ. That you are free. So, bless you. The Lord is for you. I was going to say this later, but James, would you do me a favor? This is one of the other resources I wanted to mention. It's a ministry session on the Father's heart. Would you give this to him? That's going to be a blessing for you. Yea, God. There's a gentleman right here with glasses on. Yeah, you just look beside you. What's your name, sir? Andrew. Andrew, do you mind standing up, Andrew? How are you doing today? It's a good day. It's a really good day. I'm so bad with timing. I'm not sure if it was two nights ago or three nights ago. What I see is I see tears on your pillow, and it feels like you were specifically asking the Lord for an answer to a question that you've had for a long time. There's been confusion in your heart, and the Lord says that He's opening up the door to the answer. And it's going to come in an unexpected way because it has to do with a relationship. And you don't see it yet, but he's putting things into place that are going to begin to answer the questions that you were asking him about. Something to do with relationship that's coming to you. And I'm not sure if the relationship is bringing the answer or if the answer is about a relationship. But there's something related with relationship bringing the answer, being related to that answer, to that question. And he wants you to know that he heard you. And you can actually trust yourself to make the decision that you need to make. It's almost like there's a path in front of you. There's two different ways you could go, and you've been stuck at the crossroads trying to figure out which direction. And it's you're waiting for something, but he already put it into your heart. And if you follow your heart, you'll go in the right direction. That fear of making the wrong choice. That fear is not from him. It's not him bringing hesitation. That go with your heart because he's already put it inside of your heart, the right direction to go. It's fun. Sometimes you step into a flow and it just keeps on going. And then sometimes it's like, oh, there's a little something there. Let's see what else. And I'm not sure how this relates, but the other piece that I'm getting is that there's something about physical healing that the Lord's releasing. And I don't know if it's you that needs physical healing or if you've been asking for physical healing, but there's something about physical healing that's being released into your life right now. And so we just bless that release of healing, especially physical healing, right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And just so that I can pray more specifically, is that do you need healing or have you been asking for healing for someone else? You have hearing loss in your right ear. Okay, so Father, we just speak to that right ear and we command it to open. We just speak to that hearing loss and we command it to stop. And Lord, this is one that hears your voice better than he realizes. I'm asking that as a sign that he hears your voice, that you would heal that ear and you would open up his hearing right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, find some way to test it. And I don't know how you're going to do that. Can you tell a difference? There's a change right now? You have to listen. Okay. Yeah, check it out. And find out, if you can, even before you leave, if you find out, and then find me if it's not completely done, and we're going to continue to contend for that. But keep on going, because the Lord wants to heal that. There's a promise of healing for you. Lord, we just bless that right ear, and we command it 100% to be opened in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Good. Yeah. Pastor Sam.
Amen. Why don't we stand to our feet and... I love the prophetic, man. I was telling a group of people last night, or actually yesterday, that it was actually the prophetic that opened me up to the Holy Spirit. You know, I always thought charismatics were too emotional and all those kind of things, you know, not too smart and all that kind of stuff. But it was when I went to church and I heard a pastor start prophesying over people, and I realized, oh my goodness, God is real. All this stuff is real. Either he's the biggest fake or this is real. And I know it was real. And so to thank God. And it seems like it's really interesting. It seems like the Lord is doing something in our community. You know, our anniversary, some of you guys know, but Pastor Rob Lee is coming. He's one of my most prophetic friends that I have, and he's been here in the past. And then our retreat, Bobby Connor's coming. And so for whatever reason, and then John's been here this weekend. And so whatever reason, God keeps bringing prophetic people into our midst. And I feel like there's something quite special that he has in mind for us as a church, right? And so we're going to sing this song together just close our service. If you, I know sometimes what happens is when people come up and they share words for people, some people are really happy. They rejoice. Oh, man, John got blessed. Look at him. He's crying. Oh, praise God. And, you know, all that kind of stuff. And some people leave thinking, hey, what about me, man? You got nothing for me? And you know how the prophetic will continue to grow in the church is when you start really rejoicing for other people. And so it's not about you. Sorry to let you know that. It's about God. It's about the Lord. And so this is one of the good ways that we really deal with what's in our heart. And trust me, there's nothing. I want you to be jealous in that way of, Lord, I want to receive from you. But yet if we are too jealous for that and don't rejoice with our friends, I think there's something wrong going inside of us. And so as we worship the Lord, let God speak to you. And I really believe that even as John was praying for some of you, I felt like residue was happening. In other words, like you're things were happening with John, and some of you guys can relate to your own dads and whatnot. And I feel like God was speaking to you as well. And some, like Mallory, God was speaking to her about her mother. And some of you guys are dealing with things with your mom and promises. And I feel like that word was for you as well. And so we just take in, because the word is for the community in that regard. And so as we sing, let's just own things for ourselves. And let's just relay back to the Lord what's in our heart. Go ahead, lead us.
Lord, it was you.
Let's pray. Lord, we just pray, God, that that revelation, God, of your love would, Lord, sink deeply within us, God. Lord, we are unworthy, God, but we're not worthless. Lord, we're more sinful than we can ever imagine, God, but we're more loved than we can ever hope for. And so let your love, God, Lord, cover a multitude of sins. Let your love, Lord, move deeply within us, God, and let us operate, God, not as slaves, but as sons. We thank you, Lord. I thank you for Pastor John, Lord, blessing our community. Lord, I pray that you would continue to meet with him and help him as he travels the world, God, sharing your love with so many people. We thank you. And we thank you for many, God, that were called out today. And we pray that you would continue to do the deep work in their heart, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you, God. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Would you hug someone next to you? Say, have a great, great day.